You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 18th of January 2015 on Monocle 24.
Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're evaluating US economic exceptionalism, asking why America is continuing to lead the way and outperform the likes of the Eurozone, Japan, and a slowing Chinese economy. How has the US managed to continue its growth at around 5% while these other markets struggle with slowdown, recession, and deflation? We start with David Lefkowitz, senior equity strategist at UBS, who explains why he thinks the US has been doing so much better than everyone else.
I think it's a couple of reasons. I think you have to go back in time a little bit and look at how the United States responded to the financial crisis. Certainly, the recapitalization of the banking sector was a very important part of the recovery from the financial crisis. And here in the U.S., that process was done much faster than certainly other parts of the world and certainly than Europe. So I think that's a key element. I mean, just for example, I mean, we still have European banks this week that came out talking and raising nearly 10 billion euros of new capital. You know, here we are almost 7 years past the fail of Lehman Brothers. So I think that gives you some sense of just how much more quickly the U.S. has done things on the financial recapitalization side versus Europe.
And here's Kiran Ganesh, cross-asset strategist at UBS.
I think it's really a case that if you look around the world in different economies are in different stages. So if you look at the emerging markets, they recovered very quickly after the 2008 crisis, but have really been slowing ever since. And now they really need to do reforms, which are going to take a long time to enact. If you look at the Eurozone, then, you know, again, they did okay after the crisis in 2008 and 9, but then obviously the huge existential problems they had in 2011 and 12, again, are requiring reforms. And they've had some success with that, but again, it's taking time to work through. Whereas in the US, it obviously had the biggest problem in 2008 with the collapse of Lehman Brothers, but then it acted very quickly there afterwards. And that means that now they're one of the few economies in the world which is in, you know, something of a sweet spot where, you know, the economy has been reformed, and now they're growing on a self-sustained basis with sort of little further to do in terms of reform.
Meanwhile, Kevin Allison, columnist for Reuters Breaking Views in Chicago, stresses the importance of the energy sector.
I think there are a few reasons the U.S. economy has been doing better than other economies around the world. It's a multifaceted issue. I think that first and foremost, you've got the energy dividend coming through. The U.S. is enjoying the benefits of its shale revolution, not only in the falling oil price, which is a kind of global stimulus, but also it continues to have this energy advantage in low gas prices. U.S. gas prices used by things like factories and heavy manufacturing are about a quarter of what they are in other places around the world, like parts of Asia and Europe. So the U.S. is enjoying this huge cost advantage, and I think that's one of the things propelling it. Another thing propelling it, I think, is overall economic dynamism. The U.S. typically, especially in comparison to Europe, has had fewer regulations to get in the way of a kind of bounce back in economic activity. And the third thing, I think, is that the United States has had fundamentally a much better ride through the financial crisis because it did much more, much earlier and more decisively to address its banking sector when the financial crisis happened. Europe, I think, especially, is still feeling a hangover from not really taking strong action to help put its banks back on a solid footing.
And Thomas Berner, chief US economist at UBS, echoes the view that it was decisive and early action in the banking sector that has made the difference stateside.
I think there's a couple of issues. First of all, the Fed was one of the most proactive central banks when the crisis hit. I think the only other central bank that was comparably as fast and bold in their reaction was the Bank of England. So I think that's the first key driver for why the U.S. economy is stronger now, especially within the developed world. The second key driver is also that the U.S. actually recapitalized the banking system much, much more quickly, especially if we think about the Eurozone right now. The Eurozone, you know, just last year finished a very comprehensive stress test. The first round they did that, it was seen as not negative enough. Now their stress test, you know, actually was seen as more valuable, and they came up with a shortfall of about 10 billion euros for the banking system, and now banks are actually starting to recapitalize. This happened in the U.S. already in 2009, if you remember back to the TARP, and at the end of 2009, banks were already very well capitalized and well on their way in terms of the health of their balance sheet. So I think these are very two important drivers. I think also in the case of the U.S., the labor market, I think, is much more dynamic than in most developed countries. This is something that was the case before we entered into this crisis, but it's also something that has helped in this crisis. Companies were able to lay off workers very quickly, workers with a certain skill set that was not any more demanded, like, for example, construction workers found a way to find a job somewhere else. Obviously, it wasn't as easy as in prior recessions for U.S. workers to relocate. Some people that were underwater with their mortgage could not just simply switch cities. But in general, the U.S. labor market tends to be much more flexible, react much more swiftly to these adverse shocks than, especially if you think about Europe.
You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Today, we're considering the strength of the US economy, and as we've been hearing, it's a very positive story. But is that the full picture? What are the concerns, if any, that trouble our analysts? Are there challenges, perhaps in the shape of longer-term issues like debt or rising inequality, that could threaten America's robust position? According to Bloomberg's Pim Fox, it will likely be politics, not economics, that unsettles the United States in 2015.
The one shadow that's going to fall, and that's going to happen quite soon, is the 2016 presidential primary elections. There's going to be more attention focused on politics, less on business. You're going to see more and more money and more media attention placed on politics, and politics breeds uncertainty as people do not know who's going to be the next president. In the meantime, the economy is going to do very well in the United States. That does not mean that the stock market is going to do very well. Typically, stock markets do well when people perceive there are bargains. There are a few bargains, if any, to be had, particularly in real assets like real estate in the United States.
Pim Fox. Kevin Allison in Chicago again.
I don't think anyone should be under the illusion that because the economy seems to be doing much better than other economies around the world, that means that the U.S. and especially the U.S. middle class are in anything resembling healthy shape. I think that the middle class is still in a very stressed position. I think households are still digging out from under a lot of debt. I think that the job data that we've been seeing come through, while it's been better and while you've seen unemployment falling, for example, to under 6%, that workforce participation, so the number of people who are actually looking for jobs or who have just dropped out of the job market completely, still is at a kind of alarmingly low level. A lot of people just aren't looking for work, and so it's flattering the job figures. So I think, yes, by the standard metrics on which you judge an economy, the U.S. economy is doing great. It's benefiting from the low energy prices. It's benefiting from the U.S.'s more friendly regulatory regime. But in fact, it's not as though the middle class is just completely living it up. I think there's still a big problem with middle class, with wages, which actually fell during the last employment report, and with people's overall feeling of economic well-being. I think there's a lot more work that could be done.
As Thomas Berner explains now, it's the US's ability to react quickly to economic flux, particularly around inflation, that will prove crucial in the year to come.
Once inflation expectations fall below zero, it's very hard to fight them. So one of the, you know, very good reactions, and in my view, very good reactions we had in the U.S. is Bernanke knew this. Bernanke, you know, studied the Great Depression in much detail. He wrote a book about it, and he was very clear that the Fed and the government have to do a lot, and they have to do it very quickly to avoid that change or that shift in regime from stable inflation expectations somewhere around 2%, 3% in the U.S., to below that range or even turning negative.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll hear what some of the struggling markets, like the Eurozone and Japan, need to do to get their houses in order and replicate America's sustained growth. Next, we look at why the likes of the Eurozone and Japan are languishing in comparison to the US. David Lefkowitz discusses whether there is unease in America about the policies and reforms on the agenda in Shinzo Abe's Japan.
Japan has been struggling with their deflation issues for quite some time, as I'm sure you know. And we do think that they are moving in the right direction. Unfortunately, they're not getting a tremendous amount of support from global growth in general, so that makes it a little bit more challenging. You know, they haven't really embarked on some of those structural reforms that are a little bit more painful, but are probably what's necessary to really move into a faster gear. So those will be important to watch as we go forward and see how much progress the Japanese government can make on that.
And what does Kevin Allison make of the problems that persist both in the Eurozone and Japan?
I think with regard to the Eurozone and Japan, that in Japan, Prime Minister Abe is still undergoing this kind of experiment with Abenomics, that no one is really sure that they have hands firmly on the levers of the economy. Japan has been experimenting with ways to revive its economic performance for years now, and this is just the latest iteration. I don't think that anyone necessarily thinks that Japan is going to solve its problems overnight or anytime soon. In the Eurozone, we've seen Greece come back into the headlines just in the last few weeks, and people are starting to talk about sovereign risks and problems in the periphery again with regard to that story. That's not necessarily a great thing. And on top of it all, you've got this layer of geopolitical risks still out there, like Russia in the Ukraine, the Middle East, and its future with falling oil prices, I think, is still uncertain. The Ebola epidemic still rattling on in Africa, and recent events in Paris have kind of reminded people that terrorism is still a threat. So there's still lots of potential global problems out there that could come back to bite the American economy. But overall in the U.S., there's a feeling that the employment picture and the GDP picture are providing more of a tailwind than these headwinds can overcome.
Pim Fox of Bloomberg sums up the lessons other nations could take from the U.S. in one word.
Reform, 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 and then add to that, do it quickly and do it first. If you do not reform the banking systems that are creating these problems, if you are not reforming the labor market disparities that are creating these problems, if you are not reforming tax regimes as well as regulations within your common trading areas, do it and do it fast because the rest of the world is not waiting.
Pim Fox there. Time to consider the client view on the Bulletin with UBS. We'll hear from Kieran Ganesh in a moment, but first, here's David Lefkowitz. For him, when it comes to client advice, it's all about the big picture.
The big picture here is that I think we're still in the middle innings of an economic expansion. We don't see any of the signs that you usually see that sort of herald the end of an expansion. For instance, we don't see the areas of the economy that there's been a significant amount of overinvestment. That's usually what we see towards the end of an expansion. We have very low inflation. That's great news. It enables the Fed to continue to support the recovery. So I think what has been driving stocks over the last 5+ years has been earnings growth, and I think that remains very much on track as we go forward. And I think the last thing is that as we move into this period when the Fed is going to be pivoting to beginning to raise interest rates, I think it's important to realize that they're not doing that in order to reduce or sort of fight inflation. They're just doing it to become slightly less accommodative, and there's a big distinction between those two policy settings. The Fed is still very much supporting the recovery, and that's important to bear in mind.
David Lefkowitz there. And now with a closing thought from Zurich is Kieran Ganesh.
Economic growth and financial market performance doesn't always marry together. But we think that in the case of the US, then it does, and it has. So we are recommending that clients do shift a portion of their assets towards the US, whether we're looking at equities, or we're looking at credit, or we're looking at the currency in the US dollar. And we think that the US does provide superior returns than other regions.
Kieran Ganesh. And that brings us to the end of this 15th edition of the Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance, every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.